present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
The Old Man of the Sea.
Pat, are you sure this is the way we put this camp bed up?
Oh, I'm positive, Father. Look, that thing goes over there, and then you slot this piece of wood in here.
But I thought you slotted that piece of wood in there, not here.
No, that's for this other piece of wood.
I'm fed up, Grandad, having to share your room. Why can't I sleep in my own bed?
Because we've got an old shipmate of your Grandad's coming to stay and he's having your room. You know all about it.
Well, if he's a sailor, he'll have his own hammock. We can sling him up in the backyard on the clothesline.
Stop being funny. Now, hold still, Father. There. There you are, Jimmy. That should be all right.
Well, I hope it doesn't collapse like it did before. I jumped into bed, landed on the floor, and broke the handle off Grandad's suitcase.
Oh, just shut up, will you?
Well, I'm fed up. Honestly, all this fuss, just for one man. I hope he appreciates it.
Oh, look, my lad. When my old pal Barney Robinson gets here, you'll soon change your tune.
What do you mean?
Oh, you'll enjoy every minute of his company. He's great fun. A real live wire. And, oh, very fond of sport. You know, he was captain of our ship's football team.
Get away. You can't play football in a ship. What happens when a bloke takes a corner? He puts the ball down, steps back. Man overboard!
Oh, Barney would appreciate that one. He was one for a joke himself. You know, Jimmy, I remember one night in a cabaret in Bombay, there were, you know, these dancing girls, and Barney went up to one of them, winked, and he said...
But, Father, that'll do. Remember who's listening.
Yes, Grandad, you mustn't talk like that in front of me, Mum. You can tell me after when she's gone downstairs.
Father, come and look out of the window. I think he's arrived.
Let me see. Oh, that's Barney, all right. Oh, look. He's come for taxi.
Well, that's one thing we know about him. He's not a Scotsman. Hey, that's Mr. Higginbottom's taxi. I'd better go and rescue your pal before he gets overcharged. If Mr. Higginbottom takes all his money off him, he won't have a shilling tip for me when I carry his suitcase. I won't be a minute.
Now, listen here, mister. I brought you from the station, and what can't speak can't lie. Look, there's five bob on my clock.
Oh, well, your clock must be fast, then. Yes, I'll give you 3 and 6.
You will not, mate. Come on, I want 5 bob off you.
Don't you raise your voice to me, you long, lanky landlubber here. By George, if I had you under me in the Merchant Navy, I'd have made you sit up.
Now listen, Captain Cook. The first 5 bob, and that's what I want.
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. What's up? Won't he pay you the extras?
What do you mean, won't pay the extras?
Ozzy said when you have a stranger in your taxi, you keep saying, "That's the town hall. That big place over there's the fish market." Then you charge 2 bob extra for the sightseeing tour.
I'll be taking you on a tour in a minute. Round the General Hospital.
Now then, don't you go threatening the lad.
Thank you, mister.
Yes, and you speak when you're spoken to, my boy. Yes, well, who are you anyway, eh?
He's Sinclair's grandson, Jimmy Clitheroe, and a right load of mischief and all.
Oh, is he? Well, you seem to know this family very well, don't you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Higginbottom's an old friend. He comes round every Sunday. He borrows our joint to make their gravy.
Yeah. Well, hello there, Barney. You finally made it. After all these years.
Is it you, then, Peter? By gum, you've aged a bit, haven't you?
What?
Look, when you two are finished, what about my money?
Peter, me old matey, yes. I've no change on me. Pay the taxi, will you?
Me? Pay the taxi?
What's up, Grandad? You've gone white.
Now, that'll do, Jimmy. Now, look, Barney, I've no money on me, but we'll settle it with Higginbottom when I take you down to the Rose and Crown tonight. You know, for a wee drink.
Drink? I'll not get him on that caper. Oh, no. I haven't touched a drop for 10 years. I'm surprised at you, Peter, you know, wasting your money on selfish pleasure.
Oh, Grandad doesn't drink for pleasure. He does it to make him sleep.
Does he?
Yes, and sometimes it works before he gets home.
You aren't putting in your place, my lad. Anyway, can't stand about here in the cold. It'll just play me chest up, you know.
This way, Mr. Robinson. Come in, will you?
Here, oh, thank you. Here. Well, now, I'm going in the house, Peter. Pay that pirate his taxi money, will you?
Well, Grandad, so that's your old pal, who I'm going to enjoy every minute of. Jolly Jack himself.
I've never seen such a change in a man.
Never mind the change in him. What about the change for my taxi fare?
Oh, all right, Hagen. Both of them, if you're in such a hurry, I'll get the money from someone in the house.
Excuse me while I go and hide my piggy bank.
What? All right, then.
Very nice to have you with us, Mr. Robinson. Did you have a good journey?
No, shocking, shocking. I'm worn out. I can't stand travelling at all. Oh, it's too noisy.
Well, we'll be having a meal soon. I'm sure you'll be ready for that.
Yes, well, that depends what it is. Can't eat anything rich or starchy. Must have steamed fish or a lightly boiled egg. It's my stomach, you know.
Oh, in that case, Mr. Barney, I'll do you a favour and eat your lamb chop for you.
Jimmy, that'll do.
Yes, that lad's too cocky. You're cocky. I said you're cocky. Far too cocky, yes. Now, if you'll excuse me, I just want to lie down, you know. Get some rest.
Well, we've got the clothesline ready for you.
Clothesline?
Your bed. I'll follow you upstairs with your case.
Yes, well, hurry up then, yeah. Drinking, indeed. No wonder Peter's looking so old and haggard.
We've got a right one here.
Hurry up with that case, my man. Come on, look lively.
Hi, Skipper. Young Jim Hawkins be on his way up aloft. Excuse me, Miss Purity. Here. In here.
Ah, thank you. Hello. Is this my room?
No, it's mine. But I've been chucked out and I've... Why, don't you like it?
Well, it's not a very big room, is it?
Well, it does get a bit stuffy, but you can always open the window. There's only the lorries from the factory on nights, about once every 10 minutes.
Lorries? In the middle of the night? Oh, well, I'll just have to sleep with the window shut.
That's right. Then all you'll hear is the pipes. Glug, 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 glug.
Oh, dear, well, I couldn't stand that. It would drive me mad, you know. Isn't that a room I could have at the back of the house?
Well, you'll just have to swap rooms with me granddad, and I'll have to sleep at Mr. Craythorpe's.
Oh, well, will he have you?
Oh, yes. He's very kind-hearted. I'll play on his sympathy. I'll wrap myself in a blanket and lie down on his doorstep with a note pinned to me. My name is Jimmy. Please give me a good home. Right, Mr. Craythorpe, we'll have one more game and you be the baddie again.
Oh, dear. Do I have to be Billy the Kid?
Oh, all right. We'll pick some fresh names. I'm Marshal Dillon, and you're one of the James Gang.
Oh, which one of the James Gang?
Big Jesse.
Now, James.
Jesse James! Oh. You go and hide in Dead Man's Gulch.
Oh, hide where?
In your sister's bedroom. And this time when I catch you, I promise not to hogtie you. Go on, off you go.
Just a moment, James. Even a bandit must get some rest now and again.
Oh, all right, Mr. Craythorpe. I mean, you have done your best to keep me amused during the 3 days I've been staying with you, haven't you?
Is that all it is? 3 days?
Well, I'm very grateful to you. If it wasn't for you, I'd be stuck at home listening to old Barney grumbling away every night. Fancy all that fuss. Just because I unbuttoned his shirt while he was asleep to see if he was tattooed.
Well, no one is perfect, James, and after all, the man is staying as a guest. You can't just bundle him out of the house neck and crop.
No, but I think Grandad's given him a gentle hint that he's not wanted.
Oh, how do you mean?
The other night, Barney wanted something to read in bed, and Grandad gave him the railway timetables.
Now, that wasn't a very nice thing to do, was it?
I don't know why you're sticking up for Barney. He doesn't like you.
Now, don't drag me into it, James. Although I must say, it can't be much fun with a man like that living in the house.
From the way he talked after you left yesterday, he should be living up a tree.
Living up a tree?
Yes, just after you'd gone, Barney said, "If that fella Craythorpe's a man, I'm a monkey's uncle."
hat. Keep your voice down. Barney might hear you.
I'm not really bothered if he does. Since he arrived here, there's been nothing but trouble.
Oh, well, now, Pat, he's our guest, so we've just got to put up with him.
Well, I'm not spending another 10 days running up and down stairs for him. I'm all worn out.
Hello, ma'am. Is it safe to come in?
Oh, it's you, Jimmy. Your tea's not ready yet, love.
Hello, Grandad. How's your old shipmate? Have you found out where he's hidden the corkscrew yet?
There's no need to be funny, Jimmy. Just because you've got yourself organised at Craythorpe's.
Oh, yes, that reminds me. Mr. Craythorpe's decided that cowboys and Indians is too noisy. So tonight, we're having a musical evening instead.
What do you mean?
I'm going to teach him how to play my drum set. I'll just go and get it out of the front room.
Now, don't start any trouble. Susan and Alfie are in there.
Right, ma'am. I wonder how the turtle doves are getting on with Barney here. Oh, they've left the door open. Well, as our teacher says, if you never listen, you never learn anything.
Oh, go on, Susan, give it a kiss.
Alfie, don't make so much noise. We'll have that horrible Mr. Robinson coming in complaining.
Yeah, but Susan, I wasn't making the noise. I was singing at you. Now, why won't you kiss me?
Perhaps she can't. If he's singing to her, she'll have her head under the cushions.
Oh, please stop it. Somebody might come in and see us.
Yeah, well, what about it? I mean, I'm your boyfriend and you're my girlfriend and I'm very fond of you. I don't care if somebody comes and sees me with you. Look, I'll go down on my bending knees and I'll say, Susan,
Alfie, what's the matter?
Oh, I've got cramp in my left leg. Oh, Susan, rub my left leg. It might come off.
Better still, rub both his legs together. With a bit of luck, he might burst into flames.
Oh, what are you doing at that door?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Robinson. You frightened the life out of me.
Are you listening at that keyhole?
Yes, do you want to listen? You'll get a good laugh. It's Susan and Alfie.
Now, you look here, my lad.
Shh, listen to him.
Oh, he's not doing me much good. Do you think I should roll
my
trousers up?
Roll his trousers up? What's he doing in there?
Having a paddle in the goldfish bowl.
Oh, that's enough of that now. I'll teach him to carry on in there. Just break it up, you two.
What? Oh, it's Mr. Robinson.
Oh, yes, I heard you. Heard you at the door. Carrying on, young lady. Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Look, we were doing nothing wrong. And anyway, what's it got to do with you?
Don't you answer me back. I see you, young man. I think I know how to deal with you.
You tar very much. Here's my left leg just below the knee.
Now, look here, Mr. Robinson. What we're doing is no concern of yours. You're only a guest here.
Don't you talk to me like that.
Hey, now, what's going on in here?
Oh, Peter, there you are. Look, now, you tell your granddaughter, will you, to show a bit of respect for me?
Why, what's the matter?
People who bend down listening at doors don't deserve respect.
I don't listen at doors.
No, he just happens to get a touch of lumbago every time he passes a keel.
Father, it's no use. We'll have to tell him to go. I'm worn out. What with cooking special dishes for him, making his bed 3 times a day after his naps. He has an hour after lunch, an hour after tea, and then he wants his early morning cup of tea at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm fed up.
Oh, I know, Pat, I know. But, well, after all these years we're still together, I just can't tell him to get out. He's only here for another 9 days.
Grandfather, your friend has been in that bathroom for nearly an hour. Would you please tell him to get out?
Look, Susan, the man's entitled to have a bath.
Not 3 times a day. Even Jimmy isn't that dirty. But I want to wash before tea.
Well, couldn't you no manage in the kitchen?
And what do you think the neighbours would say if I had a bath standing in the sink?
Your favourite son's home, ma'am. You can kill the fatty calf and ask Susan as well.
That's all we needed. Laughing, boy.
Jimmy, we're in no mood for jokes, if you don't mind.
No, we're not likely to be until Barnacle Barney clears off home.
You're not sending him away, are you? I don't want to leave Craythorpe. I mean, Mr. Robinson's a very lonely man.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. What beats me is, how he spent 30 years at sea without being thrown in it.
Oh, Master James wants him to stay. Mr. Craythorpe is letting him do as he pleases. Stay up half the night, eat all the sweets he can, and he's probably fool enough to do Jimmy's homework while he watches television.
You don't like old Barney because he caught you and Alfie snogging.
We were not kissing.
No? Well, how long has Alfie been wearing lipstick on the back of his neck? He looked like a couple of Comanches doing a bit of Indian wrestling. Big Chief, all in the head, and his squaw running mascara. Chief hug, squaw hug, everybody hug hug.
All right, Jimmy, all right. Susan is quite right. You wouldn't be so cheerful if you were living at home.
I'll go, Mother. It's probably Alfie.
Grandad, you're not going to send your old shipmate away, are you?
I can't. But it's a pity we didn't tell him your room was the only one available. Then he'd never have stayed in the first place.
Oh, hello, Mr. Craythorpe. Come in.
Thank you, Susan.
Mother, it's Mr. Craythorpe.
Good evening.
Oh, hello, Theodore. This is an unexpected pleasure.
Well, I feel rather bad about this, but I've brought his clothes back. James, I mean.
What for? They don't want washing yet.
No, it's not that. I'm afraid my sister can't put up with you. Can't look after you any longer. She has a bad one. I'm very sorry.
Oh, no. Don't apologize, Theodore. Man, it's the best news I've heard for a week.
You what?
I don't understand.
Well, if Jimmy comes back, he and I will have to go into my bedroom. And Barney will have to go into Jimmy's.
But Barney said he couldn't sleep in Jimmy's room because of his health.
Exactly. So out he goes. Come on, Pat. We'll tell the sailor to up anchor and get his bag packed.
I can't wait. Theodore, would you ring for Mr. Higginbottom for us and ask him to come round with his taxi?
Right you are.
Well, Mr. Clitheroe, that's taking care of your little holiday from home.
I think you're all cruel, putting a poor old man out in the snow.
Nonsense, James. Well, I must make that phone call.
Old Barney's got plenty of money and a lovely home. You're just annoyed because you'll have to start doing your own homework and going to bed early.
If I go to bed early, I can't sleep with you and Alfie below me in the front room.
We never make a noise. When you're in bed, we speak in a whisper.
I know. And it's blooming cold lying down with me here on the floor. Anyway, you haven't won yet.
What do you mean?
Never mind, Big Conk. I've just thought of something that might save me.
Well, I've put some sandwiches in for you, Barney. Thin wholemeal bread and cheese, just as you like it.
Oh, much obliged, I'm sure, but you needn't have bothered. Your cheese gives me indigestion.
Oh, does it indeed?
Perhaps you could give him something else, Pat.
I could give him something else, all right. But I don't think the chemist would sell me any.
She means the grocers. You know, they're closed.
Yes, well, don't bother about me. I don't expect anyone to put themselves out on my behalf. Anyway, he'll soon be rid of me.
Oh, now, don't talk like that, Barney.
Come in, Mr. Whittle.
Right you are, my little worker.
Mr. Robinson, we can't help it if there's no room here.
No, Barney, I mean, you know, we don't want you to go.
Mr. Robinson, Grandad would be very happy if you could stay, wouldn't you, Grandad?
Of course I would.
And so would you, ma'am, wouldn't you?
Naturally, yes, sir. I mean, father's friends are always welcome.
Good. Well, Mr. Whittle's got some good news for you.
What?
Well, Jim told me as how Pete's best friend was having to bid you a sailor's farewell on account of having nowhere to sling his hammock. So, I've come round to say Jim can stay with us in the spare bedroom. No one ever uses it. And your old mate can stay with you, Pete.
See, Grandad, now you're happy again, aren't you?
I'm happy. Well, Pat, we'd better get Barney's things back upstairs.
Yes, well, if you'll put some hot water bottles in the bed, I may as well have a little nap before I eat. Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, I'll put the kettle on. And, Jimmy, I'd like to have a chat with you before you go to Mr. Whittle's tonight.
Yes, Mum.
Oh, excuse me, folks. I've just seen me old dad going up the path. I'd better tell him to get the spare room ready. You see, he keeps his bits and pieces in there, and he has the room locked. Sit tight, Chuck. I'll open the door. Hello, Iggy.
How do, Harry? Is that fella Robinson in? I've called to take him to the station.
Huh? Hey, Jolly Jack the Sailor. The hearse has come for you.
Well, you've got some weird friends, Peter.
Well, you're one of them. His friends, I mean.
Now, don't you start, Jimmy.
Hello, the troublemaker's at it again, is he?
Don't you call my grandad a troublemaker.
I'm talking to you. Anyway, come on, Mr. Robinson, let's get away.
Wait a minute. I'm not going.
They've changed their minds again.
Oh, have they? Well, you ordered me, so I want 3 and a tanner for being called out.
Oh, yes, well, that's fair enough, fair enough. Peter, pay the man, will you?
Who, me?
Well, you don't expect me to pay for your mistakes, do you?
No, no, I'll pay him. Here you are, Higginbottom. 2, 3, 3 and 3, 3 and 6 pence.
What about his tip?
That'll be the day. And next time you want a taxi for Robinson here, I'll be busy. But give me a ring and I'll tell you where to go.
No, but...
Oh,
I'm sorry,
Miss
Higginbottom. Did I tread on you?
No. Get in there. There's always room for another monkey in the Clitheroe menagerie.
Yeah, I suppose there is now that big ape's gone. Why is he always so miserable?
It's his job. He'd probably be happier if he was something else, like a hangman.
Ah, well, you see, it's rather complicated, Alfie. Mr. Higginbotham came to take my friend to the station, but now he's not going.
Oh, I know, Mr. Whittle just told me outside. Jimmy was staying at Craythorpe's, but he had to come back because Craythorpe's sister was fed up with him. With Jimmy, not with Mr. Craythorpe. And your friend was staying, but he had to go because Jimmy came back, but then he didn't have to go because he was going. Yeah, Jimmy was. So he wasn't your friend, but he will have to now because Jimmy can't. I think.
I wish you would think. Before you open your floodgates.
Jimmy can't what, Alfie?
Well, he can't stay with Mr. Whittle. He's just coming to tell you.
Why can't I stay with Mr. Whittle? They have a spare room.
Yeah, I know, but they haven't got anything in it. Yesterday, his dad went to the sales and flogged the bed.
Oh, the daft old bed flogger.
Well, that means you'll have to go after all, Barney. I'll get your things downstairs.
Oh, down, up. Up, down, I feel like a blooming yo-yo.
Well, there's no need to change anything.
What do you mean?
Well, I just had a thought. Jimmy can come and stay at our house.
Here you are, Harry. Help yourself to sugar.
Thanks, Pat.
Oh, I am glad to sit down for 5 minutes while old Barney's upstairs having his second nap.
I must say you're very patient with him, Pat. You always keep your dignity. You never lose your temper and demure yourself.
No. Still only 6 days to go, and I'm counting every one of them.
Oh, I'm fed up.
Oh, don't bother to say hello.
I'm sorry. Hello, Mum. Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Hello, Jim. Something up at school?
No, at Alfie Hall's. It's like being in the army. His father stands over me like a sergeant major while I do my homework. Lights out at 8 and reveille at 6:30. He hasn't got a bugle, so he blows his nose.
Oh, old Hall's a bit tough, is he? Believes in strict dissipation.
Yes, Grandad told him to keep an eye on you.
Mum, why doesn't Grandad tell Barney the bosun to put to sea again? And then I can come home.
Oh, you've changed your tune.
From what your Grandad said about you, he'd probably keep Barney on an extra week now just to see you suffer.
Well, we'll have to think of a way of getting him out. How about it, Mr. Whittle?
Oh, don't drag me into it. I'm just a neighbour. I can't protrude into family confinements.
You what? Look, I just mean, if you've ever had to get rid of anybody, how did you do it?
Now, that'll do, Jimmy. Barney has got to stay here another 6 days.
Cocoa! I want some cocoa!
Talk of the devil. I'd better go upstairs and see to the old nuisance.
Mr. Whittle, if you do remember anything, tell me quick while my mum's out.
Well, it does put me in mind of when I was a young lad working on a road in Southern Ireland, as it was then called. Well, I was lodging in a cottage, oh, very cosy. Just me, another lodger, the bloke and his wife, 2 pigs and a donkey.
What do you think? Barney says he's got a swollen ankle and he wants some surgical spirit to bathe it in. I've told him it's early closing, but he says he must have some spirit.
I've got some old engine oil I could drain off for him.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea that might get rid of his bad ankle and Barney as well. Mum, don't worry. Just leave it to me. Come on, Alfie, get the window open so we can hear what they're saying.
Oh, all right, all right. What's happening anyway?
You'll find out if you open the window. Grandad's slinging Barney out neck and crop.
What, his best friend?
Yes, he hates him.
and don't come back for another 20 years, you mean, knackering old, ungrateful teetotaler!
You're the ungrateful one. I should never have pulled you out of the Bay of Biscay.
Has Barney done something to upset him?
Close the window, it's freezing. We've heard enough.
What did Barney do?
He bathed his foot in a full bottle of Grandad's best whiskey.
He must have gone mad. What, pinching your Grandad's whiskey?
He didn't pinch it, I gave it to him. I just forgot to mention that I hadn't got Grandad's permission.
Oh, is that so?
Grandad, I didn't know you'd come in. I mean...
So now we know the truth.
Grandad, Mama, I only did it for the best. It was only one bottle. I'll buy you another next Christmas.
Don't bother. I'll pay for it willingly.
You mean you're not...
Jimmy, the best trick you've ever pulled. Put it there, son. Pat, will you join me? And you too, Alfie. For he's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair's grandfather, Patricia Burke's mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Craythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Derek Guyler as Barney, and Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom. The recorded program, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
The Clitheroe Kid was recorded by the BBC. Thank you.